Okay. Good morning, everybody. Zech Nishmas Avi Murray, Yaakov Nisal Pilchas, Zech Nishmas Nadiel Shainamas, Yeshua Falak. Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay, it's good to see everybody. If everyone would like to put on the camera so I could see everyone, you know, it's just like it's a hider for the Talmud to see the Rav, so it's a hider also for the Rav to see the Talmudim. So if everyone can put on their cameras, it's always a nice thing to be able to see, especially if we're not all together in the room here. So it's always great to be able to see everyone's face, etc. Okay. So let us take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to skip a couple of pages, so then, you know, the Shulchan Aruch always tells us the end. That's why, you know, when you learn halacha, the Shulchan Aruch is really the last stop on the train. Whereas if you really want to enjoy learning halacha, you don't start with the Shulchan Aruch. You end with the Shulchan Aruch. That's what Rav David Lifshitz Zatzal used to say. When the fellows learn Yoredeya, if they start with the opening up the Shulchan Aruch to learn Yoredeya, they're not going to enjoy it at all. Because then they just see the conclusions. They don't see the whole process of how the Mechaber got to the conclusions. But if you start with the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and this, and then the last stop on the train is how the Mechaber puts it all together, then you really appreciate the whole thing. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to start on the last step on the train to see what the Shulchan Aruch concluded, and then I'm going to go back and see how did he get to the conclusion that he got to. So take a look. This is packet base. So if you look here on page 10 in packet base, it says the Shulchan Aruch, Tzifal Kuf Zayin Tzifal Aleph. It says the last line, V'yachtoch prusas habetzia. You cut the bread. V'tzarach lachtoch ma'at. So what's the shear? How much are you supposed to cut of the bread before you make the motzi? Shim yochos beprusa yala shar kikar imo. In other words, we want the bread to stay as a shalom, right? When you make the bracha, that's a chashivas to make it on a shalom. So if you're going to say, we're talking now on a Tuesday afternoon for lunch, and you're having a face, Wednesday afternoon, you're having a challah roll, right? So what you do is you're supposed to cut the challah, the bulkala. You cut it, you know, before you make the bracha. You cut it before you make the bracha. But now, if you cut it too little, that's meaningless. If you cut it too much, then it's already falling apart. Then it's not a shalim anymore. So you have to cut it to the depth that, so you cut it, and now there's an incision. But not just a little, you know, when people make these incisions, you know, a lot of times on Shabbos, they make the incision before they make hamotzi. That's a very, you know, well, we'll see why they do it differently on Shabbos than in the weekday. Usually in the weekday, people don't even remember to do that incision. But the idea is that we don't want you to start cutting it before, so when you make the bracha, then you won't spend so much time having to cut the challah, the bread, because it shouldn't be too much of a hefsek, right? So therefore, you cut it already a significant amount. You see, on Shabbos, we're afraid that if you're going to cut a significant amount, then you're going to cut too much and you're going to lose out on the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. You see, and during the week, there's no din of Lecha Mishnah. There could be a din of Hidr that it should be a Shalim, to make the bracha on a Shalim, but there's no din of Lecha Mishnah. So during the week, what we tell you to do, cut, but cut significantly, so therefore after you make the hamotzi, you'll get a what? You'll just finish the cutting, After you make the motzi, you got to just finish the cutting. And that won't take too long, so it won't be a hefsek. But don't cut too much. So what's the shear? How much should you cut? So says the Mechaber on page 11, you should cut shim yochas ha-pruso yala shar kikar imo. In other words, the part that is the smaller part, say when you cut, there's 80% on one side and 20% on the other side. You know, it's not, you don't cut in the middle, right? But you have to be able to, after you cut, if you're going to hold the 20%, you'll pick it up and the 80% will still schlep along. But if you cut too significantly, then when you kind of pick up the 20% part, and it's only holding by a thread now, then what? It's going to fall. And then that's not considered a sholem anymore. So in other words, the Shulchan Aruch says that the shear of how much you have to cut in terms of the depth is the amount, says the shear, shim yochas beprusa yala shar kikar imo. That if you're going to hold on to the prusa, the smaller part, then the rest of the kikar, in other words, if you cut, there's 20% on one side, 80% on the other side, and you make the incision so that if you're going to hold on the onto the 20% and pick it up, the 80% will schlep along. But if you go too deep, when you're going to pick up the smaller part, the other part is what? Is going to just fall down and dismember from the rest of it. And then that be considered like it's not a sholim. So it says, Shim yochas beprusa yala shar kikar imo. Shim lo ken chashev kiporus. Because if not, if it's not, then that's not considered. It's considered ke'ilu, it's split in half. No, it's not like you have to do this. It's potentially. If I would do this, if I put up, pick up from the smaller side, the bigger side will still be attached, then that's considered sholem. But if I pick up the smaller side and then the bigger side will just fall down, then that's not considered a sholem. So that's what he says. Shim yochas beprusa yala shar kikar imo. Shim lo ken chashuv kiparis v'yanichena mechuberes lapas v'yaschil. And then you leave it like that. V'yaschil avarech. And you make the bracha. V'chash yasiyim habracha yafidena kidei shetichla habracha ba'od hapas sholem. V'lo yivtza pruta k'tana m'nei shener k'tzar ayin v'lo prusa yosem yukibetzim m'nei shener k'ravosam. In other words, he shouldn't cut off the smaller part, shouldn't be too. In other words, what you're going to cut off is not that you're going to give out for the mesubim. So you shouldn't cut such a small part, because then it looks like you're stingy.
Rabbi, is this? I'm sorry. Is this the way I have to eat bread? In other words, if I want to make a mochi, I'm supposed to take a piece of bread like that, or if I take a slice of rye bread, it's okay too. I mean, am I supposed to only take a piece of bread that's got all the baking on it, and I can potentially cut 20 and 80? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Or I can eat any bread?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what the Shulchan Aruch is telling me. Is that a halacha? Is that a din in Hebrew? Or what is this?
Yeah, in other words, it's a din in... And how you supposed to eat? How you supposed to?
So I shouldn't take a slice of rye bread.
Yeah. The only question is, what Rabbi Harari was mentioning yesterday, does this whole halacha only apply to something that you're starting off as a sholem? What if you're starting off as a? See, we were discussing yesterday, like in America, when people eat pizza. So
yes.
What do? They take the whole thing and they start eating from the. So is
right.
that? Is that considered against this din in Shulchan Aruch, the way an American person eats pizza? Well, Rabbi Harari was suggesting that maybe this is already a prusa. When you get it from the store, they already usually cut it into. Very few people make the motzi on the whole
But I don't know if you can. How would you do it? Let's say you would. How would you do it? Even if I wanted to do it according to the Shulchan Aruch, how can I do it? There is no 20% in the pizza and 80%. How do I cut it? How can I?
What you could do is the whole pizza is the 100%. So you want to cut half of it. You want to cut the three slices. You know.
No, but I can't. I don't want to cut it off. Otherwise, it won't be a whole. It's impossible to do anyways. I can't cut.
Pizza's so thin. You're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, pizza's so thin.
What do you do with a slice of matzah? Or a whole matzah? Take a whole matzah. Yeah. It's one kika. Whole matzah. How do you break it partially so you can lift it up?
Yeah, would we say that that's too small? In other words,
it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. Unless you had the, you know, what we call the Sephardi pizza. Yeah, the Sephardi matzah.
Yeah. Well, the good old slice of Margaret's Harouette during the year.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so, right. Chorus, there's no. Because the whole idea is that we don't want it to have a hefsek. So regular matzah, you just crack. It takes a second. So maybe there wouldn't be any chashash in such a
place. No, but why would I have nobody? He seems to be telling me, the Shulchan Aruch, that the cutting is something to do with Derech Eretz. It has to do with...
Right, you shouldn't cut too little.
Is that only if I eat a piece of bread where you can cut? Like he's asking, what about a matzah where I can't cut? Does the Shulchan Aruch tell me I shouldn't eat it?
No.
Or is it just telling me when I have a piece of bread that I can cut?
What the Shulchan Aruch is saying is when you have a matzah, so don't just make a hamotzi and then start eating from the whole matzah. Make the motzi and then crack off a piece and give it out and you're eating it for yourself, or you're giving it for others. But don't say hamotzi lechem haaretz and then start biting the way the Americans eat pizza. He says, don't do that. And then the question is
maybe I should break off a piece. At least on a weekday, maybe I should break off a piece before I make the motzi.
No, because then it won't be a shalom.
How do you see that, Rabbi? What you're saying? Where do you see that?
Because that's
how do you see that by a matzah? I'm sure you do that. He's telling you how to eat a bilkula, let's say.
Yeah, so he's talking. So he's thinking about botseya. What's the whole idea of botseya bepas? Why do you have to be botseya? Just make a bracha. Just make a bracha and eat.
Yeah, you're right. Why?
So the assumption is that there's a concept. So we discussed yesterday, you know, maybe it has to be dumya. When dumya the hafrashas chala, when you take a piece and. But even if you don't want to say like that, like Rabbi Levi was talking about, just the derech eretz. We don't eat the whole thing and start eating from a big thing. You cut a piece off and then you give it. You know.
So where do you get the 80%, the 20%? What does that do with derech eretz? And what do I have to need? But see, as a pass, we talked about it before. Why is cutting it? And I have to cut it. And cut from the part that's
I don't know if you can cut or break it at that point.
Why is that?
Because if not, what are you going to do? If you don't break it, the only way, the other way to do it is just take the whole thing and start biting from the whole thing.
I'll cut it in the middle. Why is that derech eretz to cut on the side? Or to cut at the end? Why? What does that do with derech eretz? I don't know.
Because he says...
The cutting in the middle is not derech eretz.
No, he said because... So he says like this. He says if you do too much... If you're cutting off like 10%, right, to give out, so it looks like you're stingy. If you do too much, then it looks like you're a glutton. So you do somewhere, you know, so that's what he says over here. So you do something in the middle. You don't want to look like a tzarayin. You don't want to look like a stingy person. But you don't want it to be... More than a beitza, Say you're doing it for yourself even, because it looks like you're a glutton. Then you're giving yourself such a big piece at the beginning. You take more later.
So is this a halacha or this is...
This could be a halacha in derech eretz. A halacha in derech eretz.
A midat tova. A nice way to behave.
It's a nice way to behave. It's a nice way to behave.
But see, it's a pass. Is that a halacha? Or is that a behavior pattern?
Yeah, but it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch.
I know. Yeah. But what is it? And what does that have to do with a bracha?
Yeah, okay.
What's it shaykh this to a bracha? It has to do with derech eretz, with the way you conduct yourself. I don't know where the bracha fits in.
Right.
I mean, a bracha is thanking God for something.
Right, so we're thanking God. You're right. We are thanking, like Rabbi Harari writes, kovet habracha.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Let's go.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So he says like this. Vacha sheisayim ha-brochim yafidenik neshetich ha-brochim, page 11. Bara pashol, v'yliv tza prusa k'tanam, neshetirik tzarayim. He shouldn't have cut off too small, because it looks like he's stingy. V'lo prusa yosev mikabetza, but not something more than than a beitza, mibnesha nira kirafson. He looks like you're, like a glutton, you're hungry, like you're starving, etc. But he says, Haga, uveshabbos lo yachtoch kikar al achar habracha. But he says, on Shabbos, you shouldn't cut before the bracha, kideshu kikar shleimus. Because we want it to be shleimus, because we have a chiyuv of lecha mishnah. Umikol mokom im shachach v'chatoch kamo b'chol einu mazik. But if he does cut, it's not a problem because it's still considered sholem. But at Shabbos, the chiyuv of shleimus is more a stronger chiyuv than it is during the week. Because a Shabbos, in other words, during the week is an Indian to have a shalim. It's a good thing. It's a heder. But a Shabbos is a halacha, lecha mishnah, that has to be shalim. Okay. So therefore Shabbos you shouldn't cut. But if you did, it's as long as you didn't cut too deep. V'nira d'hada lo yivatsa t'osim k'beitzainu dafka b'chol v'ocha levada. So the idea that you shouldn't cut more than a beitz is during the week when when you're eating alone. If on the Shabbos you're eating for a whole bunch of people together, or during the week if you're eating with many people, so in other words, the idea is that first you cut off the whole amount that you're planning to give out. So if you're alone and you're eating alone, so then you should cut, a little less than a beitza worth. If there are many people there and you're cutting, so then you cut the amount that they'll leave the kezayis for every single person who's there, and then you'll start cutting, multiple pieces.
Rabbi, isn't it also saying that on Shabbos, even if you're alone, you can cut bigger than a kebeah?
Well, on Shabbos, you're only more medicine, so we can put a bruise of Chohan. So, on Shabbos, yeah, you say Shabbos, it's mashma that you could, even if you're alone, you could cut more. Because you're going to plan to eat more on Shabbos. Okay, so let's take a look in the Magen Avraham and Sif Katan Hay. The Shabbos lo, Shabbos we don't want you to cut. Why? The Shema Tipol HaPrusa lo yelo lecha mishnah. You see, if you're going to cut too deep on Shabbos, then you won't have lecha mishnah because it's going to fall down. Mashem lo naflo legamrei havi lecha mishnah. Mm-hmm. Now that's the question, but the Aguda says, Shem Maram, Dafke Sha'ochez Beprusa Ola Hakikar Imo. And Chachan of Yosef Lohavelecha Mishnah, Chay Mash Mishel Higi Barb. So he says, so that's the question. What is the shear? What is the shear of this cutting that it can't be? So let's see in a second. What is the shear of how much you could cut? One second. So let's look in the Beis Yosef. Take a look on page 9. The Beis Yosef is going to quote a Mishnah in Tvul Yom. Perek Gimel Halacha Mishnah Aleph. So let's see. So now start back with the beginning of the packet. Says the Pasuk in Chumash in Parshas Emor. Nefesh Asher Tigam Bo V'tama on ha'erev, v'lo yochom min ha'kadoshim ki imrachatz b'sara b'mayim. But as a person became tamei, so in certain situations, the tumah is only till the night. And v'lo yochom min ha'kadoshim ki imrachatz b'sara b'mayim. So he has to go to the mikveh. And then he has to wait till the night. So what does that mean? That, well, normally we assume like when a woman is in need, right? So she goes to the mikveh. Well, the need of goes to the mikveh at night. Say somebody touched a sheretz. Right, go to the mikveh right now in the daytime. But it's interesting halacha that the person doesn't become tohor right away. You need what's called harif shemesh. In other words, you need the person to wait till nightfall. Question: whether it means shkia or tzeis, and that's the first mishnah in Shas. The first mishnah in Shas says me'emasai. In other words, the Kohen say became Tomei, so he goes to the mikveh, right? But now he still can't eat Truma. He has to wait till Tseis HaKachavim. And that's the Mishnah that says that that's the Zman that you can say Kriya Shema, Tseis HaKachavim. But till he gets to Tseis HaKachavim, what is he? He's called a Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom means that a person already went to the mikveh, but for certain things, they don't become fully tahor until the day is over. So the time period between the mikveh and Tseis HaKachavim, that is called, the person is the status of Tvul Yom. And a Tvul Yom can't eat truma till Tseis HaKachavim comes. And when Tseis HaKachavim comes, then the tumah goes away. However, if he wants to eat kachim, that's the next pasuk. V'Hashem shvatayim, v'achar yochal mer kadoshim ki lach bahu. So this is referring to, I didn't mean kachim. This is referring to truma, even though it says kachim. He says, for kachim, he's going to have to wait till the next morning and bring a carbon and be tar. So that's the din of Tvul Yom. Tvul Yom, again, is a person who went to the mikveh He wants to eat, but he doesn't. The Gemar HaTara is only at the end of the day. Oh, so now let's take a look in the Mishnah. In Tvul Yom, from page 3. Says the Mishnah. Kol yodos ha'ochlin shehim chibur ba'av hatumah chibur b'tvul yom. Say, for example, you have grapes, right? And then you have a stem to the grapes, right? You have the part that you eat, the fruit, and then the stem, you know, the part that we usually throw out afterwards. And you could hold on to the stem when you're going to eat. So what if the Dover Tame touched the stem, but not the fruit? So the fruit is really what's Mekabel Tumah, because that's the Ochel. The stem is not the Ochel. But what if the Dover Tame just touched the stem and not the Ochel itself? It's the Yad of the Ochel. So say, for example, an Av HaTumah touched the stem, so then that's a conduit to the Pri. And the Pri becomes Tameh. So, Shem Chibur Av HaTumah Chibur B'Tvul Yom. And the same thing, if a Tvul Yom touches the stem, that will transfer the Tumah to the grape, to the Ochel. Then he says, Ochel Shenifras. Ochel that was split, ura, meaning it's still dangling. It's dangling on a thread, say. Ura miktsas. So the question is if something is touching the stem, do we say, since it's just, you know, hanging on a thread, like we would say, maybe it's considered already severed. And therefore, if you touch the Dover Tame touches the stem, it won't transfer the Tumah to the Ochel. So that's the question. Ochel Shenifras, it's split, Umu'ura, it's still hanging on the thread, Miktsas. Rav Meir, Omer, Im Ochel is Begadol, Vakotn Ola Imo Hareu Kamohu. So he says, so the first case was with the stem. The second case is you have like a challah that's split, but it's still connected. So how much does it have to be connected that if the Dover Tameh would touch one side, would it, the tumor transfer to the, in other words, you have a challah, it's holding by, you know. So Ochel Shenifras Umura Miktsas Rav Meir, Omer im oches begadol vakotn ola imo harehu kamohu. In other words, if you would hold, say with like 80-20, like we said before. So if you hold on to the 80% and the 20% would be picked up with it, in other words, you didn't cut deep enough. Sometimes if you hold on to the 80% and you cut so much, the 20% will just fall down. So therefore, if
he's saying a chos b'katan ragadal olim, the small big one comes up with it.
Yeah. No, that's Rabbi Yehuda. But the first one is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir omim oches b'gadol v'katan olim o harehu kamo. That was you hold the. So that's a little bit easier that it'll come with it. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be more connected. Im oches bekotan, if you hold on the smaller side, vagadol olim harakamo. So, right. So this is the machlokas. So in the Shulchan Aruch, it's going to point out, in the Rush, it's going to say that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that it has to be that im oches bekotan, which is going to have to be more connected, because if you hold on the smaller part to get to the bigger part to you know, stay with it, the bigger part is heavier, obviously. So then it's only going to work if it's still very, very connected. See, So says the Rosh, since we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, the same thing, Lagabe, what's called the Shalem, when it comes to a bracha. So look inside of the Rosh here, page 6. V'yesh she'enem rotzim lachtoch alechem klal ad lachar bracha. He says that some people that don't want to cut at all until they make a bracha. He says, v'lo nochem lasos kein, v'shum d'choshiv hafsaka, v'ashim s'ache lachtoch alechem, v'shoa ben bracha lakiva. He says, it's not right. We don't want such a hafsaka. So you definitely should cut beforehand. Now, as Rabbi Alter pointed out, if it's just a matzah, so then you have no choice. You know, what are you going to do? If you cut a little bit, it's already cut. And if you how much are you saving? Half a second? Not even. So there, Mistama, but we're talking about a bread that has a thickness to it. And so therefore you should make a significant incision even the weekday before you make the bracha. So then after you make the bracha, you can very easily finish off. No ikuv at all. So he says, v'lo nochem lasos kein mishum b'choshiv hafsaka mashen is acher lachtoch alechem v'shoa ben bracha l'achila el chotef ein mafris Mafri haprusa ad lachar habracha. V'yirali shetzarach lachtoch ma'at, shim yochaz b'pruta she'el lachika imo, v'mokein chashiv kiprusa. V'chein shaninu b'tvul yom, r'me omer mochaz b'god al katan ola imo, v'yakamo, Rabbi Yehuda omer mochaz b'god na god al imo, harekamo, v'alacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So he says that's the amount that you have to cut. You should definitely, in other words, first thing, definitely cut significantly, not just a little incision. But make sure that you don't cut too much. And we have the chumra shita, that if you oches b'katan, hagadol ola imo. If you oches b'katan, hagadol ola imo, so that's the amount that it's still considered b'chumra. So that's where the Magen Avraham gets his halacha. He gets his halacha from this that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So that, but on Shabbos, if you do this, we're afraid that you're going to come. This is a significant amount that you're cutting down. But on Shabbos, we're afraid. Once you cut so significantly, you'll cut even more, and then you'll ruin the Lecha Mishnah. See, during the week, if you ruin it, okay, so it's not a shalem, but it's no din of Lecha Mishnah. So the halacha is not as important here. So therefore, in other words, our concern is there shouldn't be a hefsek. So definitely cut before you make the bracha. And on Shabbos, so during the week, do that, and then when you'll finish off, it'll be very quick, chick-chock. And the Shabbos, we're afraid, if you do something too significant like that, you might come to do more, and then you lost the Lecha Mishnah. So it's a din really in Shabbos during the week. Just in Shabbos, we have an extra zahiris not to cut even anything significant, because you might lose. But during the week, we care about the hefsek, but we don't have such a concern that, because even if you messed up, it's okay. And on Shabbos, if you did the amount that you were supposed to, that you do during the week, it'll still be okay. But if we tell you l'chatchila to do what you do during the week on Shabbos, then we're afraid that you'll mess up the whole thing.
Rabbi, I think it's interesting that we see from here that you don't cut the bread the same way you do during the week on Shabbos. You know, there should be a difference on Shabbos the way you cut the bread.
Right. But it's interesting that we have an extra zahiris. You know, it was the Lecha Mishnah we take so seriously that it's sort of like we make a gzeira not to lose our Lecha Mishnah. And that's what that he says over here. Right. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Now let's take a look on page 8 in the Hagos Maimoni. Says the Hagos Maimoni in the bottom. Chosiz Mori Rabbeinu Sheyichye Min Hatoysiz Yesh Lachtoch Milechem Ma'at Lanich Mechuber Belechem Ha'Shayivtza Lo Ka'osin Shechotchin Achar Abrocha Tavi Hefzik Tuva Ben Brocha L'Metzia. You have to cut significantly. All of my money, the ein lachtoch hakikar el im haya ochas bekat hayagol olimel. Avim chachal kolchach ad kadesh im haya ochas bekat ainagol olimel as havi kaprusa. Kedemashu perak or v'harotiv desnad ha'ever v'habasa hamedudolim b'behema. Ashin shchatu huchshiru b'demeh u'muki abayi b'gemar pultayu ba'ochas bekat ve'ainagol olimel. So let's see what he's talking about. So let's look. Take a look here on Daf Ayin Beis on page 12. Okay, so you have a Mishnah here on page 12. Behema hamaksha leilet. You have an animal that's about to give birth. V'hotzi uber es yoda v'chatcha. V'chachach shachat es imo. So the question is like this, that the halacha is that if you have a pregnant animal, and you shech the animal, so then the child is a ben pekua, and it means that a child now doesn't need shechita, right? It's included in the shechita of the mother. But what if the fetus sticks out its hand, and then you cut off the hand that was stuck out? And then you shech the mother. Habasa tohar. The bus is tohar because you can't. She says, "Ein habehema mechabelas tumah mechayim." Okay, so the question is,
isn't it Tomei is Eir Mina Chai?
Yeah, so that's going to be the discussion on the next page. That's going to be the discussion on the next page. About what's the story of the part of the animal that of the yeah so the. So take a look here at the Gemara, where the Gemara says, "Amai tumas beis astorim hi, tumas beis astorim lo mitama." In other words, it says Gemara Rashi, "Amai basar ha'ubar tamei, v'lo lo noga ha'ever bebasar aloi dechi puro osu maga chibur beis astorim hu she'enu nira." In other words, as the Rabbi Alter just said, the part that comes out is it should be tamei, and therefore it should be tamei the rest of the animal. So he says, well, that's beis hastarim. And he gives you an example of, in other words, where is it touching? It's touching the part of juncture between the part that came out of the animal and the part that's still inside. But that part, you can't see. In other words, you're holding here, so this is the part that came out, and this came out from here. So even if this is considered tamei, but it's touching the rest of the animal, but the rest of the animal is, you can't see the point of touching. So the question is, do we say the concept of kol ha'omed lachtoch kichatoch dami? In other words, do we say that if something is omed to be severed, it's already considered severed? But for me to explain to you, we're gonna need more time than we have now. So I think we're gonna stop now, and we have to see: is there other makaros and shas to tell us a different way? In other words, we started with that Mishnah in Tzvul Yom. But is that the only way, only source of figuring out how much has to be cut to say that it's still part of the original piece or not? And that's, in other words, basically the Rush quoted this Mishnah in Tzvul Yom. And it's totally whether if you pick up the smaller part, will the bigger part go along with it? And it's machlokas, whether it's totally on picking up the bigger part and the smaller part going along, or the smaller part and the bigger part. And we say we pass it like Rabbi Yehuda, it has to do with the smaller part and the bigger part going along. Right? But the Sefer Shara Ephraim is going to discuss this halacha that by. And other Mishnayos to see if there's another way of dealing with of what's considered connected and what's considered not connected. In other words, so far we saw one Mahalach, and that is based on the Mishnah of Tzvul Yom. But maybe there could be a different Mahalach based on other Mishnayos or other Gemaras. So that'll take a little bit more time to explain. So without Bezer Hashem, we'll leave it to tomorrow. So let me just say hello to everybody. Emmanuel, good morning. And Ilan, good morning. And Natan, good morning. And Joshua, good morning. And Rabbi Hess, and Rabbi Harari, and Akiva Poppers. Rabbi Alter, Shimi Rosenberg from Yerushalayim. Shimi's been in Yerushalayim for the past, 11 months. He's been... and Jacob Silberger, and Rabbi Lavi, and Moshe Carroll, and Aram Levin, and Rabbi Kesselman. So, okay. So it's good to see you all. Ezra Shem, tomorrow we'll continue to try to understand the Hagdara of Sholem. So now our understanding is that it's considered Sholem as long as when you pick up the smaller part, the bigger part comes along. That's And if not, then it's not. So that's why on Shabbos we're afraid if you're going to do that, you'll come to do more. So on Shabbos you just do a little bit, not even that amount. But during the week you should do that amount, because if you don't do that amount, then so even if you might have overstepped your bounds during the week, okay, nishka ferlich. So there's no real halacha, you know. It's a heder to do it with a shalim. But on Shabbos it's a chiyuv, it's like a mishnah. So we don't want to cut too close, and that's the idea. Okay, so Bezer Shem tomorrow will continue. Those that are supposed to take the bechina, we're going to have the bechina 10 o'clock for those that didn't take the shir bechina yet. Okay, so we'll take the shir bechina, and tomorrow we'll We'll start this year at 11. We'll have also Parshas Hashavua, 11:30ish or so, and that'll be a story. Okay. Have a good day. Kol tov. Good to see you all.
Good day.